Now, here's a story for you. Bernard Barlow was working for Gallagher Limited. He worked for 27 years. He was discriminated against on grounds of his age, and he's on the line now. Bernard, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Tell us the story, Bernard. How did they discriminate against you?
How did they discriminate? Well, they discriminated against me because after the factory closure was announced, they went into negotiations with the trade unions, and they came out with a package that suited everyone except for people like me, because I was 65 years and over. So simply because of my age, I was discriminated against.
So there was an old rule, I think round about 2009, whereby you could be in a scheme if you were below 65, but you couldn't be in it if you were over 65. But they hadn't recognised the new rules that came in 2011.
That's correct. That's correct. They had every opportunity to do so, Frank, but they didn't do that. They just left it away. Their attitude towards me and people like me was that, oh, he'll be 65, he's going to retire anyway. That was their attitude towards people of my age, that at 65 years of age, they was going to retire.
Is there a possibility that the mistake was made because the factory's owned by Japan Tobacco International Limited and they weren't aware of this legislation? Or is that a feeble excuse I'm looking for?
I think it's a feeble excuse you're looking for, because the trade unions and the company actually sat down in negotiations in 2011, and they were made very well aware that the DRA, the default retirement age, was going to be lifted in 2011. But they completely ignored this, and I don't think you can say anything because it was Japanese, because Japanese Tobacco actually owned the company at that time.
With regards to your severance and your hope to get the same as people aged under 65, were we talking about a significant amount of money, or is it the point of principle?
Well, money really didn't come into it. This is the principle point of view, because the thing being is, why should I be treated any differently than anyone else that worked on the shop floor? Or anywhere in the factory, for that matter, not just on the shop floor. Just because I'm 65 doesn't mean to say I should be treated any differently then. And that's where the company discriminated against me, as a judge at the Industrial Tribunal actually said, that because of my age of 65, they actually discriminated against me. I was absolutely, I was absolutely excluded from the scheme because of my age, nothing else, just exactly because of my age.
You must be more than pleased with the outcome.
Well, I'm absolutely over the moon with the outcome, but I must say that I've never been able to come to this outcome without the help of the Equalities Commission.
And do you believe that other people who are aged over 65, who may be in a similar position, should be maybe pricking their ears up to have a listen to your experience?
Well, not only them, Frank, not only the employees. I think the employers should be pricking their ears up at this decision by the tribunal. Because don't forget, it's the employers mainly that set these rules, and they should be having a look at their the schemes that they have to make sure that they are not discriminating against the employees. And if the employees feel that in any way that they're being discriminated against, then they must get in touch with the HR department. And the HR department, if they're not quite sure what's happening, they must get in touch with the Equalities Commission to rectify these matters.
Was it a difficult journey for you?
It was. It was. Like I say, when they announced that the place was going to close, I'd already signed an agreement with the company that I was actually going to stay on. I was going to stay on. The company accepted this. So when then they announced that they was going to close the factory in Ballymena, it's not only me that was devastated, it was everybody else in the factory was devastated. Even the people around it, the suppliers, everybody was devastated at the actions. But then to be told that you're not even recognised within the scheme because I was 65 years of age, that's even a double whammy. So that means, you know what I mean, that was another devastating blow.
So a very positive outcome, and you're praising the Equality Commission.
Oh yeah, without them, I don't think I'd be sat here talking to you now.
And what are you doing now? What's the job as far as Bernard Barlow is concerned?
Well, I don't know yet. At the moment, I can't gain employment anywhere, so because it's just one of those things, Frank. You know what I mean? People look at you sometimes at 65, 66, 67. They think, can we employ him? I don't know.
And are you keen to work? Because a lot of people do still have the old mindset. They think, my goodness, if you get as far as 65, surely you want to hang up the tools.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was going back to. I'm keen to work anywhere. But then again, you know what I mean? It will take me on.
Yes, you are keen to work. You are keen to work. I hope I'm keen to work when I get to 65 as well, Bernard. But I think you've struck a blow for boys like me, younger men coming through, that we'll not have the wool pulled over our eyes.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks for coming on, Bernard.
Yeah,
Thank you. I'm really surprised, actually, that a company could make that mistake, because it's very evident from the company I work for that you won't be discriminated against when you're 65, 66 or any other age. I want to speak to, indeed, a man who has been representing the Equality Commission on this. He's the Chief Commissioner, Dr. Michael Wardlow. Michael, good morning.
And I'm saying good morning, Frank.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, you know, as we listen there to Bernard, is everyone surprised that someone would be treated like that in 2017?
I think whenever Bernard first came to us a couple of years ago, and there are others as well, you know, in his position, he happens to be the one for whom there's been a tribunal decision. We, first of all, thought, my goodness, could this actually be happening? And the reason for that was he had actually said himself, filled a bit of paper in at the age of 63 and said, I want to work beyond 65, and the company accepted that. In 2011, whenever you weren't able to say you have to retire at 65, when that went, the unions and the company together examined the scheme and left it as it was, despite being told that this could run up against equality legislation. And obviously, whenever the JTI Gallagher's went into receivership in 2016, Bernard was one of the people who actually achieved his 65th birthday in the year it was closing. Had he been 64, I wouldn't be talking to you today. But his point was, by becoming 65, having spent 30 years of his life with Gallagher's, 10 in Manchester where he was made redundant, he relocated here with his entire family, made his home in Northern Ireland for the last 20 years, only to be told, you're not getting a penny. And in the judgment, the judge was very clear. He actually said, look, I understand the company wanted to make sure that money was spent properly, but you didn't take into consideration the fact that, you know, 10% of their workforce are over the age of 60. And you talked about you as a young man, Frank, going forward. One person in 12 in Northern Ireland now works beyond the age of 65, and that figure's going up every year. So this is a real, it sends out a message to employers to have a look at their schemes to make sure they're fit for purpose. And if you're not sure, talk to us. And to other individuals like Bernard who might find themselves in the same position, talk to the union, talk to the HR department, and if all else fails, pick up the phone and talk to us, Frank.
Is it good legislation, Michael, when you think about so many people working on after 65? I'm not convinced that I would want to be working as an elderly person. It's sad that some people have to because they just can't make ends meet. Other people are just working because, and I'm saying this diplomatically, but it's driven by greed almost.
Well, I will challenge you in three things you've said there. The first thing is you're equating 65 with elderly, and I'm 64, and I would hate to think in another year that I would be considered elderly. The second thing is I would suggest to you that the 1 in 12 that are working beyond 65 represents all of society. There are people who have to work. There are people who aren't able to retire by the state until they're 66 or 67. Think of women, for example. It's also because people want to age healthily. I certainly do not intend retiring when I'm 65. And I think of my colleagues in my peer group, I can only think of one or two who want to retire. This is actually about giving back to society. It's about having a good work-life balance. I'd probably not work full-time. And therefore, this notion that somehow age is a determinant of how much you can give to an employer or to society has to be stopped. Now, you asked about, is the legislation good? This isn't equality legislation, first of all. The default retirement age was removed as a social policy. Now, as a consequence of that, if anybody requires somebody to retire at 65, they have to make sure that that fits with equality legislation. That's where the two things overlap. So the state said 65 went, and what equality legislation says is you can't discriminate on the grounds of age. Now, Bernard actually said he's been trying to get a job, and his perception is people perceive him to be old and won't give him a job. That's exactly why equality legislation for age comes in. People should not be treated because of their birth certificate and their ability to do stuff. Some 66-year-olds I know are stronger than some 25-year-olds. So what we should be doing is looking for people and looking for what their competences and abilities are, and not simply saying the birth certificate is a determinant of how much you can give back.
Yeah, like this legislation or this policy, it is to my advantage. I absolutely understand.
Yes,
it.
Absolutely.
It's to my wife's advantage. We're galloping towards an age where this is all relevant to us. But it's not to my daughter's advantage. She's in her early 20s and she's been trying to get a job, and her peer group are trying to get jobs. Like, and you know, you don't like the term elderly, but you know, if people of maturing years hold on to positions, youngsters will never get a chance.
Well, actually, that's not true. I know that there's this perception, and I think we've got to challenge this, that somehow the fact that we have an older group of people, the demography is that we're moving towards more people working in older age, and that's 1 in 12 at the minute. I think it's going to go up to about 1 in 4. That's where I think this is probably heading. Now, there are new jobs being created. Most older people either take partial retirement and maybe are working 3 days a week. The fact that jobs are now flexible, the fact that we see people doing all sorts of other things. I know a lot of people over 65 are doing 4 days a week as volunteers. But somehow the notion that older people are holding back younger people from jobs, in my view, is actually not proven. I think we've got lots of different jobs that maybe older people would find more difficult to do. And that might be around some of the emerging technologies. But some of my friends have retrained late in life and they're doing IT at the age of 70. So I think what we've got to look at, Frank, is how we actually value people and look at other ways in which we might have employment. Sometimes we're actually training too many people. You know, the argument for years has been we're training too many teachers. And yet what I hear is young teachers can't get jobs because of older teachers holding the jobs. In my view, that isn't the case. The case is, how do we actually look at what Northern Ireland PLC, what we need, what the employment should be here? And I know young people are leaving this place, but I would suggest to you that the majority of young people are now staying to make their futures here. You know, entrepreneurship, small businesses, people who run businesses for under 11, many of these are young people who are actually doing this with entrepreneurial skills and, in fact, are employing older people. So I think we've got to stop with the myth that says because older people work longer, younger people won't have job opportunities. I don't think there's evidence to show that.
Okay, Michael, always good to speak to you. Thanks for coming on. Thanks.
Thanks again, Frank, for covering the story.
Not a problem, Dr. Michael Wardlow there, the boss of the Equality Commission. Thank you to Bernard as well.